The great guitarist Eric Clapton wrote a gut-wrenching song about the death of his 4-year-old son, who had fallen out of a window to the street below. He secluded himself after this event, and no one saw him as he grieved for 9 months. When he returned, his music had changed. It was softer, more reflective, more poignant, more powerful, many would say. You might recognize these lyrics and their edge of hope. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, 'cause I know I don't belong here in heaven. Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? I'll find my way through night and day, 'cause I know I can't stay here in heaven. Time can bring you down, time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart, have you begging please. Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure. And I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. Today's pair of scripture readings speak to us of God's endgame, where the home of God and the home of people come together in one, in heaven. Before his crucifixion in the Gospel of John reading, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a home for them. And in the book of Revelation, where John received a revelation from Jesus, we see a picture of Jesus describing that new home in beautiful terms. The picture of heaven for John is so important because his people are suffering, and many of them have been dying because of their faith. Hardships demand our attention, and pain slows us down. Very few of us, after facing a trial, come out the same way we were when we entered into it. And these two scriptures are given to us to encourage us for the challenging road that we walk. They say to us, have faith. God is with you. God will help you face trials and worries. And there is an end game coming. We all have worry, but Jesus wants to help us overcome, at least keep going in the face of our worry. Worry can distract us and take our lives off track. Worry distorts reality. Worry often leads us to false assumptions. An airline pilot came over the intercom to announce to his passengers, "We have lost one of our engines, but no need to worry. We'll be arriving just a little later, about an hour later than we anticipated." 30 minutes later, he spoke to the crew, the cabin again. "We have lost another engine. We'll be arriving, it looks like, about 2 hours late to our destination." And then an hour later, he spoke a third time. "Well, we just lost our third engine, and we'll be arriving 4 hours late to our destination." And one passenger leaned over and said to his wife, "I'm getting worried. If that last engine goes out, we're going to be up here all night." Well, anxiety and fear can be paralyzing, can't it? Jesus wanted his followers to be courageous as they faced hostility and trouble. So he gave them two wonderful images: a large home built just right for each of them, big enough for all of God's people, and a large city, a beautiful city where we will live with God face to face, where we'll be healed and comforted and safe. And Jesus looks at his friends and says, "You can't be with me right now where I'm going, but soon I will come again and I will take you to the new home where we will be together. Don't let your hearts be troubled." And he calmed the fears of his disciples, and he promised to be with them through the Holy Spirit, and he tells them he loves them. Have you heard God say that to you lately? God is saying to each one of us, and it's my prayer that your ears will hear this. Jesus says, "I love you, and I will take care of you." And then in the book of Revelation, God, speaking through Jesus to John, encourages us. Don't give up hope as you face persecution and troubles. God is at work in you and through you and with you. In fact, look how things are going to turn out. And he describes the end game, that condition for which God is working and where things are headed. Revelation 21 describes it. The earth will be renewed. And that will mean a new city, Jerusalem, being formed too. And that's important because the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed and laid in rubble by invading Romans in the AD 67, AD 70 era. It will be rebuilt, though. John also hears that the sea will be no more. Now, that doesn't make sense to us right off the bat. What's God got against the sea? But then we remember that John is in an island prison called Patmos out in the Mediterranean Sea. It is the waters, the vast waters, that keep him from the people and the churches that he loves. That barrier that separates him from the people he cares about is the ocean, the sea. And that barrier will be removed when God's end game is fulfilled. It will be a place of beauty, this city. He describes it as a bride about to head into her wedding. And God's home and God's and people's homes are going to be together now. We will be with Jesus face to face. And every tear will be wiped from everyone's eyes. There will be no more heartache. And so the healing for which all of us long for will have begun. Now, Jesus wanted them to know, and he wants us to know, that through the Spirit he will help them in their struggle to overcome worry. He also said that they would receive direction in life. Now, sometimes people will say that there are many paths to God. There are many spiritual guides. And of course, God is at work in many wonderful ways. But Jesus also made some pretty exclusive claims here for which we need to pay attention. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Karl Barth was teaching a group of students at Princeton. This great German theologian was asked, Sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in other religions and not only in Christianity? And Barth's answer stunned the crowd that day. With a modest thunder, he answered, No, God has not revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. He has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of great religions in the world today, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. But there is only one unique Son of God through whom God has revealed himself. And there is one whose teachings stand above all others. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life for humans. Jesus said that in his Father's house there are many rooms. Now, the Greek word that is used here is manai, and one of its meanings is the idea of a resting place along the way. Some theologians have pondered this meaning and suggest that while there is a permanence to heaven as a home, it might also be a place where growth and adventures continue with God. Isn't one of the fears that we have as people about heaven is that it might become a little bit too much of the same? I mean, eternity of playing a harp after the first 100 years or so, maybe we wouldn't want to do that anymore. And especially if you're not crazy about harp music to begin with. There's an old story about a man who died and awakened to find himself resting in a hammock very comfortably. When he sought to rise up and get himself a lemonade, a servant rushed over and told him, Oh, sit back, sit still. I'll bring the lemonade to you. When he thought that he might get up and do some gardening, because gardening was his great love as a hobby, another servant stopped him and said, No, the gardening will be taken care of by one of the servants. Then he tried to get up to play a round of golf, only to be told that, No, the servants will play the golf for you. Now, exasperated, he blurted out, Well, if I can't do anything, what is heaven for? And then the answer came in Twilight Zone fashion, Oh, sir, you're not in heaven. a place without growth or movement or challenge, well, wouldn't be heaven. Billy Graham thought about this and imagined that heaven will be a place with new adventures with God and true fulfilling work that needs to be accomplished. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many dwelling places. Maybe it is that we stop and rest a while in one of these, but I have an idea that we also work with God on new projects and move on to greater glory. Whatever the case, though, I believe those that say that the first minutes after we have died must be a tremendous adventure. What a wonder it will be to be with Christ face to face in a place made just special for us. Jesus gave to John this image of a home made by God just right for each one of us, with room for all of us, so that we can live with courage and hope and with love to share until that is our experience, that first day in heaven. I conclude with a story that Kathy shared with me a few days ago. It concerns a man named William Montague Dyke, who at 10 years old had a serious accident and was blinded. Despite this challenge, he graduated with honors from the university, and while he was there, he fell in love with a young woman, and they became engaged. Shortly before his wedding, William had a cutting edge for that day, eye surgery, with the hopes that the operation would restore his sight. If the surgery failed, there would be no options beyond that. William would remain blind the rest of his life. After the operation, William's eyes were covered with bandages, and he insisted that they remain in place until the day of his wedding. If my surgery is successful, he said, I want the first person I see to be my new bride. The wedding day arrived. The guests assembled in a cathedral in England to witness the couple taking their vows. William's father and the doctor who performed the surgery were close next to him, and his eyes were still covered with the bandages. The organ trumpeted a traditional wedding march, and the bride walked down the aisle to the front of the church. As soon as she arrived at the altar, the surgeon took out some scissors and cut the bandages from William's eyes. Tension filled the room. Everyone held their breath, waiting to see if William could see the woman who stood before him. Then they stood face to face, and William's words echoed through the cathedral. You're more beautiful than I ever imagined. Friends, one day, the bandages from our eyes will be removed, and we will see our Savior Jesus as he is, and our faith will be turned to sight. When you see his glory, it will be greater than you ever imagined. May God bless you. May the Spirit walk with you until that day comes, that first day in heaven. Amen.